Before we begin, do we remember our congregational theme for the year? It's based on Jude 3, which is, I'm sure you know by now, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude's exhortation is not simply to hold on to the faith, but to contend earnestly for it, to put forth effort to maintain, protect, and to remain firmly grounded in the truth that God has revealed. Throughout this year, we have focused on strengthening our appreciation for that truth and rekindling our love for God's Word. We have discussed recapturing the excitement of the truth and remembering the joy and enthusiasm in the early days of our calling. And as a congregation, or as congregations, we have been studying the original correspondence course, working our way through the book of Hebrews and its profound explanations of God's plan and purpose. And in our teen and men's club, we have been reviewing the fundamental truths of Scripture. One of the most encouraging things I've noticed is the feedback from members who are genuinely excited about what they're learning. Many have commented about discovering aspects of God's Word they've never fully understood before, and about the encouragement and inspiration that comes from just personal Bible study. I'd like to examine a subject that is directly connected to contending earnestly for the truth and faith once given to the saints, and to maintaining that first love for the truth of God's Word. And it has to do with our spiritual hearing. Throughout Scripture, we find warnings about spiritual hearing problems that can affect God's people. One particular one is very serious, and we find it in Hebrews, expressed as becoming dull of hearing. This condition reflects how we listen to God, how we respond to His truth, and ultimately whether we continue growing spiritually. Today, we'll examine what becoming dull of hearing means. We'll examine a situation that can lead to becoming dull of hearing. We'll explore possible symptoms that may be signs of becoming dull of hearing. Most importantly, I want to provide you with some practical ways to avoid becoming dull of hearing and to encourage us to maintain the enthusiasm for God's Word. So let's begin by looking at where we read the expression of dull of hearing, or becoming dull of hearing, used in Scripture. And we'll spend a few minutes understanding the context for describing a group of early Christians and why they may have become dull of hearing. We read this expression in Hebrews 5:11. And before we read the passage, it is helpful to understand the audience to whom Hebrews was originally written. Those participating in the midweek Bible study will have heard that the book of Hebrews appears to be addressed primarily, at least originally, to the Jewish Christians, and especially those that were living in Jerusalem. These Jewish Christians had a special part to play in the Church of God. If you remember in Acts 2, the Church of God began in Jerusalem, where Peter and the other 11 apostles began fulfilling the commission Jesus Christ gave them. A little more than 30 years later, when Hebrews was written, much had changed. Much had changed in Jerusalem. And even greater changes were about to occur as the city approached its destruction in AD 70. The Jerusalem Christians needed to understand that those things associated with the physical temple, the priesthood, and the sacrificial system pointed to a greater spiritual reality. In chapter 5, we come to a very interesting part where the author explains Christ's role as the eternal high priest. And in verse 10, something not yet revealed or understood will be presented. Namely, that Jesus Christ is the continuation of Melchizedek, who appears in Genesis 14 as the king of Salem, the priest of God Most High, to whom Abraham gave tithes. Melchizedek is the king of peace and priest of God the Most High. And the writer of Hebrews can go deeper. He wants to go deeper on Melchizedek, but pauses. He pauses in going into more depth. Given that background, notice what we read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. And we'll read down to verse 11. He writes, called by God. Now he's calling, talking about Jesus Christ. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So the writer wanted to continue developing this important subject, the connection between Christ and Melchizedek. He had much more to explain, but he didn't continue. The author perceives a spiritual obstacle in those he is writing about, or writing to. Those to whom he was writing had become dull of hearing. And he perceived that. And we don't know how, but he knew them well enough to present this term, becoming dull of hearing. The author, who in the Hebrew study we reviewed, points to Paul, then explains exactly what he means. And in verse 12, he goes on and says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That is a strong rebuke, very strong rebuke. These Christians should have progressed far beyond the elementary teachings, given their starting point, their knowledge, experience, and opportunities for growth, they should have been capable of teaching others. Instead, they had spiritual stagnation. They had not advanced to the spiritual maturity that comes from regularly exercising their senses to discern good and evil. In other words, they had not grown as they should have. And it says they had become, meaning that's not the way they were at one point. So why was this rebuke directed towards them? The Jewish Christians, particularly those in Jerusalem, possessed a remarkable spiritual heritage. They had been raised with the scriptures, a legacy of hearing scriptures read and taught. Some may have personally, think about this, personally seen Jesus Christ or heard him teach during Jesus' 3.5-year ministry. Time had gone by, for sure, 30-plus years, but there was those that were there that certainly could have heard him, seen him. And certainly they had a legacy of being taught directly by the apostles of Jesus Christ. Let's go back some 30 years to Acts 2, and see their unique and special place in the Church of God. These are the very first who God began to place into the Church of God on that Pentecost. Let's see a description of these founding members of the Church of God. We read about them in Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41 and 42. And this is how it describes them. Then those who gladly received his word, talking about they'd heard this incredible sermon by the apostle Peter, now with God's Spirit. And he preached the sermon, and they heard, they gladly received his word, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And this is a beautiful picture of the early church. These first members of the church of God were excited about what they were learning. They eagerly embraced the apostles' teaching concerning Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom of God. Everything Christ had taught his apostles during his 3.5-year ministry was now being taught to the church. These were people who knew the scriptures and expected a Messiah to come, and their eyes were being opened to understand that Jesus was that promised Messiah. Jesus, the very one who had come in the flesh, died as the Lamb of God, and by his blood they were forgiven of sins and reconciled to the Father. They were the founding members of the Church of God. Yet, by the time Hebrews was written, they had become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Notice that word become. It suggests they were not always that way. Something had changed over those 30 years. Those described in Acts 2 would not be characterized as dull of hearing. We just read that, and they didn't sound like dull of hearing. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They just wanted to learn more. You can kind of sense that just from the scripture. You can picture them just absorbing everything that the apostles were teaching them that they had gotten from Jesus Christ, who, by the way, got it, who came from the Father. It's the Father's words that Jesus Christ brought. And they were eager, attentive, enthusiastic, and hungry for the truth. So what happened? What causes someone to become dull of hearing? Now, I can think of several reasons, but I want to provide one, just one, because it's relevant to the Jerusalem church and maybe for many of us today. First, let's define what dull of hearing means. The Greek word translated dull carries the sense of sluggish, lazy, slow-moving, indifferent, negligent, lacking eagerness or zeal. Clearly, this is not a positive attribute. It describes those who become spiritually sluggish and unresponsive. The same Greek word appears again in Hebrews 6, in verse 11 and 12, as sluggish. Let me read it to you. And this is a continuation of really what he's saying, because we're in chapter 5, and now we're in verse 6, we see this thought reappear about them. He goes, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Notice the contrast. We read of encouragement to show a diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. You say, you got to be there at the end. It takes diligence, endurance, that you do not become sluggish. When this sluggishness is connected with hearing, it describes someone who has become slow to listen, slow to respond, and increasingly unresponsive to God's instruction. Becoming dull of hearing is dangerous because it gradually weakens our ability to respond to God's voice, to hear God's voice, and to obey God's voice, and to grow. And if left unchecked, it can become fatal to our ability to run the race set before us with endurance. So what is the cause of becoming dull of hearing? As I said, there's more than one, I think that we could present. But I want to focus on only one, and in context of those whom Hebrews was originally written to. Now, it's written for us today, but originally it was written to a specific group of people. And as we explore this one factor, this one cause, I'd like us to consider a question. Could this apply to us today? The cause we will focus on today through the lens of the Jerusalem church is having a very short horizon for the return of Christ. A central and pivotal aspect of the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the return of Christ. Absolutely. Now, before Pentecost in Acts 2, those who were baptized already deeply believed in the promise of the coming of a Messiah. What they didn't understand until that day on Pentecost was that Jesus was that Messiah. Christ, the word Christ, is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. It means, I think everybody knows, the anointed one. You know, you can say it in Greek or Hebrew, same thing. Messiah, Christ. Jesus was the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who would come first in the flesh and serve as a perfect sacrifice for their sins and our sins. And having believed in the name of Jesus Christ and having been baptized in his name, they naturally continued to look forward to the promise of his return as the Messiah, the King of Kings. The second coming of Christ as King of Kings would already been woven into their understanding of the Messiah. It was already there. You know, that was part of their, you know, how they had learned about the Messiah. That part was sort of already built in. And they would have naturally begun to anticipate Christ's return. Now, several passages suggest that early Christians may have had an early horizon for Christ's return in their lifetime. Now, I can show you several of them that indicates that they definitely had this expectation. And you can understand that. I think we all could. That Christ was going to come back in their lifetime. They had a short horizon. Let me show you one example. It's not the only example, but I just want to show you one. And this is from Paul's words from 1 Thessalonians 4:15, a very well-known scripture. We use it all the time. But in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, he writes, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord." He continues to go on. I think we know that section well. But Paul is writing this and includes himself among those who might still be living when Christ returns. And he's explaining something because people had, you know, I think people, what he's getting at is people had died and he's reassuring them of the coming of Christ, and he's still putting in context that when we who are alive, now that certainly transcends to us today. If we're alive, and everybody who reads this, whoever's alive in the church, when Christ returns, this applies to, but there's a sense that, you know, that they thought this was going to apply to them. Paul is writing this and includes himself among those who might be still alive when Christ returns. We can relate to this expectation, having a short horizon for Christ's return. Those Jewish Christians on the day of Pentecost would have had a short horizon and expectation of Christ's return. And the enthusiasm that created. There's a lot of enthusiasm if you think Christ is coming back in a few short years. There's a lot of enthusiasm. But what happens when those years pass and the horizon for that day extends out, keeps extending out? What happens when decades pass? What happens when the anticipated event does not occur within one's lifetime? Can spiritual fatigue begin to set in? Of course it can. Can some begin to lose the sense of urgency they once had? And can that contribute to some becoming dull of hearing and fatigued? That's a question worth considering. Maybe we have known those who expected Christ to return in their lifetime. I think we have. Maybe our own parents. Maybe you yourself expected Christ to return in their lifetime. As time passes and decades go by, what started as a sprint, maybe a sprint, becomes a race that requires renewed endurance and diligence. Now, about 35 years before writing 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter was there, as we read in Acts 1. And the apostles asked Jesus Christ himself, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" So even the question itself shows a possible limited understanding of the kingdom of God. But it also points to a short-term, or at least at one point, a short-term horizon viewpoint regarding Christ's return. Now, about 35 years go by from that point in Acts 1, and that same Peter writes an epistle before his death, and he understands the short horizon for his Lord and Master's return may need to change. Peter is inspired to write in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, something that suggests that a long-term horizon viewpoint is more likely. In 2 Peter 3, verse 8, you can turn there or I can read it to you. We'll read from verse 8 and 9. Remember, this is his last epistle before he dies. He says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing." And he's like, "Just don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So this is a message from Peter that the horizon of Christ's return might just be a little longer than previously thought. And Peter goes on to say that the day of the Lord is the time when Christ will come as a thief in the night, and that we, according to his promise, look forward to a new heaven, a new earth. Then in verse 14 he says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." So the message he's giving is to keep looking forward to that day, but be diligent. Be diligent while remaining long-suffering in perspective. Now, I wanted to cover this to show how dullness of hearing can become a condition when there's a short-term horizon expectation of Christ's return. And we can trace this to the early Christians in Jerusalem, who were excited, enthusiastic, eager to absorb all they could from the apostles' teaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this included the promise of Christ's return and promises of eternal life and promises to those who inherit the kingdom. That was a very exciting time in Pentecost 31 AD, and the original readers of Hebrews who were there or had connections to those that were there on that very exciting day on Pentecost, it says, had become dull of hearing. And the same thing can happen to us. And becoming dull of hearing is really just as relevant to us today. Really, it is. It's a message just as relevant to us as it was to those that the book of Hebrews was being written to. Let's move on now to identifying symptoms of becoming dull of hearing, symptoms of becoming dull of hearing for us today. And if we and I have three symptoms for us today. I think I could probably come up with a few more, but I wanted to give us three. And if we recognize these, we'll talk about what we can do about it. If we recognize these symptoms. And then we'll review practical steps we can take if we identify these symptoms in our life. So let me give you the three I want to focus on in the message. I think there could probably be others, but these are some symptoms. Do you have dull hearing? It's like sort of going to the doctor and they're saying, what symptoms are you exhibiting? And they look and, oh, this means you might have this, possibly. Well, these are symptoms that might show that you have dull of hearing. And we'll go through these three. And let me just give you the three up front so we know where we're going. I just have three. I think we could have had five or six or seven of these, but you know, at some point, three is a nice number to focus on. I think these are also very relevant and important ones. First is reduce hunger for God's word. Number two, becoming more interested in entertainment. Number three, scripture not seen as a tool for correction. So let's talk about these symptoms. The first one I have here, reduced hunger for God's word. Let's turn to a scripture to review the characteristics of this symptom. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. And here we see Peter again. We'll go back to Peter. This time it's 1 Peter and chapter 2, verse 2. And he's encouraging the readers, encouraging us. It says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, I know all mothers, especially those who might be newborn mothers, understand this very well, what's being talked about, because newborns are always hungry, and they show great and high anticipation when they know they're about to be fed. Just ask any mother, and if you have a newborn, mother with a newborn, you know this is true. Newborns need to eat about 8 to 12 times in a 24-hour period. They need to eat about every 1.5 to 3 hours. And that's why moms of newborns are always tired. Look at any mother with a newborn. We have the family here that who has a newborn. They're not here today, but you could ask her next time you see her. She's tired, I guarantee you, she's tired. Anybody who's had kids will tell you, yes, when we had newborns, I was tired. And that's because they're always tired because the newborn wakes them up 2, 3, 4 times a night because they're hungry. They're starving. Why aren't you feeding me? And that example of newborns is how Peter describes what our desire should be for the pure milk of the word and how we may grow. So let me give you some possible characteristics of a person with this symptom of becoming dull of hearing. This could be, you don't have to raise your hand, by the way, but if I describe you, you may be like, maybe I should think about it. One symptom is a person who only opens their Bible at church. A whole week goes by, and the only time the Bible is accessed is at church. So that might be an indication. This is one, you know, that you're this person here. You've lost your hunger for the Word of God. Also, interest in studying the Bible is a low priority. Everything else takes a higher priority. And, you know, so these are all simple things to, you know, think about, because it's easy to identify this because we all can quantify very easily how much we studied the Bible this week. Either we do or we don't, or we did a little bit or a lot, or we did some every day or we didn't. You know, it's easy to quantify this. It's not a hard thing to figure out what you did. Now, if there is reduced hunger for reading God's word, then you may be in the path to becoming dull of hearing. All right, let me go to another symptom. Second symptom I have here is becoming more interested in entertainment. Now, you may think I'm going to address how much we use electronic devices and watch movies or whatever. And I could. and I could. However, I'm referring to something else. Something else. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4, and let's read verses 3, 4, and 5, or 3 and 4 here, to see this symptom we're going to cover, described to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 3, we're going to see what we're talking about here in a moment here. So he writes to Timothy and says, "For the time will come." Maybe we're there right now. Who knows? "But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Remember, sound doctrine, healthy, solid teaching. That's what that means. "But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now, we see itchy ears, which literally means having their hearing tickled or scratched. And it describes someone who wants to hear something that is pleasant or novel, exciting, someone who wants to be entertained. This person turns from the truth, grows tired of sound doctrine, and wants to be entertained by fables. This warning is dire. Yet over the years, there are those who are drawn to teachers who offer more teaching on speculative prophecy or personal perspectives in teaching rather than what the Bible states. Itchy ears want to be entertained so they can be tickled with novel ideas rather than established truths. They're seeking TikTok-type teachers who can major in the minors and provide tasty pizza slices, but no substance. These are teachers out there who have little substance and lots of entertainment with sensational ways of presenting, but when you take away the flashing lights or the PowerPoint slide, there's very little substance. Be careful of these type of teachers who tickle our ears. It may be a sign that they are not enduring sound doctrine and are becoming dull of hearing. And if you enjoy that more than sound doctrine, that could be a symptom that you're becoming dull of hearing. Let's go to the last symptom I want to present. Scripture, not a tool for correction. Scripture is not a tool for correction. Scripture, the Word of God, the very God-breathed Word of God, provides correction. Let's turn to what I call a memorization scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says here, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And one of the purposes of Scripture is that it is useful for correction. If we read God's Word and study it, but we don't have at least one thing that stops us in our tracks, because it shows us something that is right, not right in our hearts, that we might be dull of hearing. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:12, what I'll call another memorization scripture. Maybe it's highlighted in your Bible. Maybe you have it committed to memory. But Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This should be the impact of God's word when you read it, when I read it. It shows God's word And the way it's described here, it shows us areas we don't want to address that need to change. And it shows us that we need God's help to make those changes. God's word cuts deep to pierce the division of the soul and spirit and shows us what needs to be corrected. And this should be our experience. And if we had that experience, that is good. That is good. And that is the best, and let me just say, most gentle form of correction by God. Through His Word, God shows us where there is a disconnect between Him and us. And it literally is the best way to be corrected and most gentle, because God definitely has other ways to correct us. And this is the best way. And if we're reading God's Word and not using it or not seeing it as a tool for correction, then we may becoming dull of hearing. So these are the three symptoms of dullness of hearing. Now, what if you are thinking that you might have some of these symptoms? Well, that's okay, because you would not be alone. But the important question for each of us is, will I do something about it? And that's what matters. That's what matters, is going to the doctor and told, this is, you have a symptom here, which seems like this is happening. And that's not always great news, but the worst thing is you're ignoring it and not doing anything about it. Maybe it's simply saying, you know, you have this condition, and if you just take some magnesium every night, it'll go away. But you don't do it. Or something like that. You know, it's the worst thing is not that it's, you know, maybe alarming. This is me. But the worst thing is, that's okay. But the worst thing is ignoring it, not doing anything about it. So let me give you five things you can do immediately. A 5-point plan that will turn a dullness of hearing into sharpness of hearing. Five-point plan. And I think you'll get these fairly quickly. I'll spend some little bit of time on them because it's pretty straightforward. You know, it's pretty straightforward. Some of these, I think you can guess where we're going. But first, number one, a 5-point plan, if this could be you. Diligence in reading God's Word. Diligence in reading God's Word. And it's as simple as being diligent, regularly reading God's Word. Set dedicated time to read God's Word each day. Make it a priority. Develop a schedule. Develop a goal what to read. It can be 15 minutes a day. It can be a goal to read the Gospels. It can be a goal to read something else. It can be a study on a subject, something you really want to understand better. It might be you want to do a study on God's love. God's love for you. It's all in the Bible. God's love for you. God's love for you. The key is be diligent in reading God's Word. Just do it. Just do it. If you need help, you may want to review the Sabbath message I sent out as a way to begin studying the Bible. Just a suggestion if you're struggling with how to structure something. All right, next, number two, return to the basics and build up again. Return to the basics and build up again. In Hebrews, they were told they needed someone to teach them the first principles of the oracles of God. And in a way, that's what we're doing in reviewing the correspondence course lessons. We're turning back to the basics. And that's what we're doing in the men's club and with the teenagers. Of course, for them, it's something they're probably establishing, but for the men's club, it's reviewing fundamental truths in the Bible. That's what I'm calling it, fundamental truths. And study these to show yourself approved so we can rightly divide the word of truth. Build or rebuild a strong foundation of the basics And then build on that. And it says, as it says in Hebrews 6, go on to perfection. That's the way it says in Hebrews 6. Go on. You know, these are the basic things, but go on to perfection. Don't, you know, establish these things, but go on. There's more to understand. All right, let me give you number three. Number three. Rekindle the love of the truth. Rekindle the love of the truth. Now, the love of the truth from God's word is so key. So how can you develop the love of the truth? Let me suggest one way, if you're not sure how to do this, and that is simply go to the Bible, God's word, and review the promises of God. A lot of promises of God. In Hebrews, it speaks about the promises. And what are those promises that come with salvation and the gospel of the kingdom of God? Do a study on the promises of God and the promises that go to those he's called and placed into the body of Christ. Hebrews calls it a better promise regarding the new covenant. New covenant. And in that new covenant relationship that you enter with God at baptism, there are better promises. Scripture calls the children of God, those who are led by God's Spirit, as co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. That is a promise that can be studied from Scripture. Rekindle the love of the truth. All right. The fourth point of the five-point plan, number four, is pray for understanding. Pray for understanding. Now, that sounds simple. But just praying for understanding is powerful. Praying for understanding is powerful. Paul said, and we know this in Ephesians 1, this is what I'm quoting here or paraphrasing. Paul said he prayed for the Ephesian church, what? That the Father of glory would give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of their calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? This is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. We can pray the same prayer for ourselves. That our eyes, the eyes of understanding, be enlightened to know what the hope of his calling is. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That's you can pray that yourself. Ask God to help understand that even more so. It's a powerful prayer that Paul outlines there, that he did for the Ephesians. We can pray the same thing. God's word is amazing, and through God's Spirit in us, there is limitless understanding of God's word. You can keep studying it, and you will continue to understand more and more and more. At a deeper level. God's word is what? What did we read? Living and powerful. And we can ask for more understanding from God's word. That is a prayer that I am confident, 100% confident, God loves hearing. If sometimes you wonder if God hears your prayers, that prayer he'll hear. And you will love hearing it. Let's go to final point and the five-point plan number five, which is by reason of use sharpens the hearing. Now, when we receive understanding from God's word, it should lead to action or use of that understanding. You know, whatever you're learning, it should lead to action. Let's go back to Hebrews 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5:14. I'll focus on this again. Hebrews 5:14. it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, spiritually mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You know, by reason of use means hearing is sharpened when we use what we learn. And our eyes of understanding are enlightened. We use what we learn. It is how we sharpen our hearing and how our spiritual senses are exercised to develop sharpened spiritual discernment. You have to use it. You have to use it. So by reason of use of God's word, it sharpens our hearing. Now, as I conclude, as we conclude with a message, let's remember where we began today, with Jude's exhortation to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contending for the faith is not only about defending the truth from false teaching, it is also about guarding our own hearts so that we do not become dull of hearing. The Christians addressed in Hebrews were not new converts. They were not people unfamiliar with Scripture. They were among the earliest members of the Church of God. They've been taught by the apostles. They experienced the excitement of the truth and the power of God's calling. Yet, over time, they became dull of hearing. That should serve as a warning to all of us. If it can happen to them, it can happen to us. The good news is that dullness of hearing is not permanent. God's word is living and powerful. God's spirit is available. The promises of God are sure, and God still desires that his people grow in the grace and knowledge. So today we discuss several symptoms that may indicate spiritual hearing loss, or dullness of hearing. The first one, reduced hunger of God's word. 2, a desire to be entertained rather than grounded in sound doctrine. 3, a reluctance to allow Scripture to correct and change us. If we see any of these symptoms in ourselves, we should not become discouraged. Instead, we should respond. Be diligent in reading God's word. Return to the foundational truths of Scripture. Rekindle your love for the truth, pray for understanding, and put into practice what God reveals to you. And remember what it says, solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Our spiritual hearing becomes sharper when we use what we learn. Knowledge alone does not produce maturity. Applying God's truth produces maturity. Peter understood this lesson. Early in his life, he appears to expect Christ to return. Later, as an older apostle, he came to understand that God's timetable may be much different than man's. Yet his conclusion was not to become complacent. His conclusion was to remain diligent. Likewise, whether Christ returns in our lifetime or not, our responsibility remains the same. Stay spiritually alert, to remain eager to hear God's voice, to continue growing in understanding, to keep looking forward. Keep looking forward to the kingdom of God, and to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered. May we never become dull of hearing, but instead remain attentive, responsive, and enthusiastic disciples of God's word until the day Jesus Christ returns.